Welcome to Hype, episode 39. We have here today Marima. Good morning, Marima.
Very early. Good morning.
Good afternoon, Josh.
Good afternoon.
3:30 here on the East Coast.
It's a great time.
And good evening to Selena.
Good evening. I have just had my dinner. Oh, how the tables have turned.
We are truly worldwide here. Yeah, we changed up the times to do a recording time that works a little better for everybody except for Marima, I think.
It's better than 2 in the morning, so I'll take what I can get.
I'm just happy to have you here. That's all that matters to me.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
I'm Andrew, and Kyle may be joining us as well in a little bit if he gets his internet worked out. So we have a lot to talk about today. We haven't done an episode in a few weeks, but the first thing that we have to talk about is absolutely the Sony hack.
Yeah.
You know, whether or not you were planning on seeing the interview, this is a huge story because a movie studio was hacked, unveiling tons of personal information. A few of their movies was leaked. And now, to cap it all off, Sony has scrapped the interview from entering any movie theater. And just today, we heard even more worse news. It just keeps getting worse and worse. It's a bummer of a situation because there are numerous problems that this whole situation presents. But to go through a couple of the things that have happened, yesterday, Wednesday, Sony, after the 5 biggest movie theaters pulled out of the interview, they decided to pull the interview entirely from the entire world. It's not going to screen in any theater around the world. To make matters worse, they say there are currently no plans to release this digitally. Some people were hoping that maybe they would release it on demand. But apparently right now, it's a no. And I think whether or not it's true, they have to say that they're not, because otherwise North Korea would continue to retaliate. The United States, by the way, has now confirmed, they haven't said it publicly, but numerous outlets, including NBC News, say that the U.S. does believe that North Korea is behind this. The interview is a movie in which Seth Rogen and James Franco's characters go and kill Kim Jong-un, in case you're wondering what happens in the movie if you don't know that by now.
Spoiler alert.
Yeah, well, I got told off for that.
That scene, by the way, leaked online. That was the one scene that was released online. So now it's like, you know, the worst part of the movie is already out there, so why not just keep it in theaters? So to make things worse, today, right before we started recording the show, we found out that movie theaters that had planned to run Team America World Police, the movie that came out in 2004, in lieu of the interview as retaliation against Sony, Paramount has now banned theaters from running Team America, which is insane. Absolutely insane.
What we predicted would happen if Sony pulled out of this.
I mean, I didn't predict this. I'm just saying, saw this coming?
In terms of setting a bad precedent, pulling the film.
Yeah. Yes. So that's one of the major issues now.
Not only that in terms of bad precedent, but I mean, I'm sure you're going to get to that, but the other movie that was scrapped for being about North Korea, and it's not even a comedy, the one that was based on a graphic novel, and was supposed to sort of explore all the horrible things that are actually happening in North Korea, and that has been scrapped by Fox because they're so afraid.
Everybody, all these studios are now afraid that they're going to be hacked. And I mean, you know, Sony has really been hit very hard by this situation. They have tons of personal information, like I said, has been leaked now. All this information about future films, which we're going to talk about a couple of them, the bigger ones, later on in this show. I mean, Amy Pascal, Sony's head of entertainment, she's looked really bad in this situation. Scott Rudin, a major producer who worked closely with Amy, he looks horrible in this situation. You know, they both apologized for their remarks, including racially insensitive ones towards the President of the United States. The major issue, the reason that this is such a huge problem is that, like Selena said, this sets up a precedent for what comes next. When other films hit theaters in the future, or before they do, are religious groups, are political groups going to protest these movies and hack a studio or threaten to blow up movie theaters like North Korea did this week, which really was the nail in the coffin with this whole situation? I mean, what do we do now?
Yeah, I mean, something definitely has to happen. I think online security is the main issue. I'm not to say that the actual threat should be, what's it called, look past it, whatever, English. But I think that's really the key of the issue, because the thing that these people are so afraid of, and I think I've expressed this in some articles as well, is what they're afraid of are the leaks. It's the breaking down of their brands. It's the financial losses that they'll see as a result of this. And what's really ironic is that everyone is scrambling around trying to protect their capital interests at the cost of these freedoms. And I think that's what we have to look at going forward, is that how can these companies protect themselves financially so that they can actually go back to being free in what they express. Because if they get too afraid of offending anyone because they'll lose money, that's when we're really in big trouble. Yeah.
Another thing that I hadn't mentioned yet was that there are now lawsuits. Sony employees or former Sony employees now suing Sony because Sony didn't protect their information. So this is another financial hit. I mean, I saw one estimate today that's pegging this whole situation at a $200 million cost for Sony. Yeah, $100 million alone for the interview, and then whatever comes from these lawsuits.
And that's a huge loss. And that is, I mean, if you're Sony, you're thinking right now, how am I if you were a company and you had thought, how am I, Sony, going to survive this? How am I going to keep paying everybody what they need to be paid? How am I going to continue to make a lot of money? And that is how society is built. The only problem is that then, if we put money over everything else.
Yeah.
As Hollywood does. We know this. This is just proof of what we already know. But what is really cool is seeing how everybody, including people from the industry, is actually responding to this, because they are proving that money may not be the only thing that all of them care about.
Well, yeah. I mean, think of all the safe movies we're going to have to be dealing with now over the next 10, 20 years. Nobody's going to want to make a risky film that can piss off a potentially powerful group.
Or alternatively, maybe somebody is. I mean, maybe people are going to go take their iPhones and shoot little offensive movies everywhere because they're actually going to wake up, you know? You never know. Have faith in humanity here.
We should shoot our own version of the interview.
But would we dare, though, is the
Kim
question.
Kim Jong-un will be played by Josh.
Jung Josh.
Andrew saw the film so we can recreate everything.
Yeah. I want to be the James Franco of the film.
Oh, damn it.
this is just a world of problems. It's crazy. We're going to look back at 2014. This is going to be one of the major events of, you know, we're going to remember the end of 2014, the holiday season, as the time that America really gave in to terrorists.
Yeah.
I mean, when do we listen to terrorist demands? This is not America. It's so depressing.
Like, don't you think they did the right thing by pulling the movie if they're threatening to blow up the cinemas?
See, fair point, because if they did end up blowing up the cinemas, then obviously everybody would be like, well, why didn't you pull it? But it's North Korea, and the government says there's no credible threat. Now, if America had said there's a credible threat, then okay, gotta do it, I guess. But what does North Korea have people secretly operating here that's going to go blow up a theater in small town America?
Well, no, but they have proven, like, what about the Aurora shooting in 2012? Like, the unfortunate thing with America is that if they did decide to carry something out, it wouldn't be totally unfeasible for them to do it, you know, which is why, are people going to go and see this movie in the cinema if they know someone's threatened to blow up cinemas showing it? Like, that's a pretty good way to put people off going to see
it. I'm much more afraid of the kid from Aurora doing something like that than I am North Korea attacking my theater. Like, I think that's much more likely to happen, some suburban kid on, you know, meds who's mentally unstable, than an entire government, you know, basically starting World War III. I just don't think that's going. The chances of that happening are much lower than some crazy person doing something.
Yeah,
crazy.
Obviously. I don't mean like it's going to happen. I just mean like, you know, objectively, if they made threats against the cinemas, like, do you think that they did the right thing by pulling the film, or should they have shown it anyway? Because, I mean, it's like, yes, it's America, and we know, like, you guys get all crazy about your freedom, but, like, it's a movie about, like, James Franco. It's not, you know, diplomatic policy.
It's not really about this movie as much as it is about the future of films. And because,
of course.
And you know this, you know, because you're aware of it, but censoring us from seeing a film is really bad. Like, this is much worse than people think, because it's just a comedy and everybody's like, it's who cares?
Yeah,
and a lot of people don't really care about the film. But this is all about, like, liability. Sony, the reason they said, and I wrote this up earlier today, but the reason they put they said, theaters, if you want to pull our film, pull our film. The reason they did that was so they could say later on, if someone, some terrible thing happened and a theater was attacked, they could say, well, we told the theaters they could pull the movies and they didn't. So the only reason Sony did that was to lay the liability on the theaters. And then the theaters crumbled because they're not nearly as powerful as Sony is. So I think had Sony backed the movie and said, look, you know, we're in a world of trouble right now, but we don't think this is a credible threat. You know, the government told us that it's not. And I think that had they done that, the theaters would have held strong and nothing would have happened. And I think that because Sony buckled, it caused this domino effect, and now we have a really big problem that really has nothing to do with this movie. It's all about if people are going to call in bomb threats and stuff in the future to prevent movies from coming out, especially, like Andrew said, like religious films or stuff like that. That's a real hot topic for people who just found out that if they are you know, willingly enough, or they're ambitious enough, they could prevent people from seeing what they have the right to see. And I think that's a much bigger deal than not seeing a comedy with Seth Rogen in it.
Well, and Team America is a perfect example of this. This is not a wide release. It's a handful of theaters screening the movie one time. Alamo Drafthouse, which was the first to announce this last night, they said, we're going to do this December 27th. It's Christmas weekend. And everybody was like, oh, that's great. That's funny. What liability do they have? I mean, North Korea didn't threaten them. There's nothing here, but it's the precedent that was set by Sony now, and this is just going to be a snowball effect that may get worse and worse. It just did get really bad.
I think the issue is that they are more afraid of being hacked than they are, and of course this is just speculation on my part.
Yes, I think you're right. I mean,
because that's ultimately why Team America was pulled. It's because Paramount doesn't want to be the center of this kind of negative attention. They don't want to be hacked. They don't want to be financially compromised. And I think that Merriman makes a really good point in that before Sony was hacked, I was unsure what they should, or before they made the decision, I was unsure what they should do, because allowing it to be screened, as you said, if something happened, that would have been absolutely terrible, and just looking at Sony as them trying to protect their image, they're probably weighing up their options, saying, "Well, do we want to, you know, what do we want to risk here?" But as you're saying, I mean, they could have shown it different. They could have pulled in a different way. They could have chosen to show it in a different way. They could have chosen to release it online. You know, there's not saying that they won't do that in the future, but there's lots of ways that they could have done this, other than saying we're pulling it completely and you might never see it. And I think that's the real issue, because also people are saying, oh, well, why are they showing this movie about Kim Jong-un and it's offensive? Yeah, but let's remember that this is a very, very, very horrible closed state where they put people in concentration camps. This is not, this is something that we should be talking about and learning about. And if we're going to learn about it through humor, then great. That's how good. We learn things.
I think something Merriman may have been trying to get at earlier was that, like, it's a shame it wasn't a smarter movie that got all that's these threats.
Yeah.
You know, it's a shame that the joke, James Franco, Seth Rogen, I mean, you know, like, my dad, like, can't take this, he takes the situation seriously, but he's like, he keeps calling Seth Rogen a pothead. He's like, can you believe a pothead could cause so much? I'm like, well, you know, he's a smart pothead. He's more than just a pothead.
Like a billion-dollar pothead.
Right, exactly.
Yeah, that's, I mean, I'm basically just, like, playing devil's advocate. I don't know. I could see them releasing it later on, though, but, like, they can't do it now.
Yeah, it's not gonna happen. They're filing for insurance for the film, which all major studios have for big films. This doesn't happen very often where a studio has to write something off. But they're from reports that I've read, they're filing for insurance, and we can't legally see this film released. Right. It just can't be released. Once a studio is paid by an insurance company, it's, you know, it's kind of like your car insurance, you know, getting a brand new car and still driving your old car, you know, or on the weekends or something. It just doesn't happen. You can't do that. Once Sony's been paid, they cannot release, they can't profit from the film. So that's what I was saying. The only way we can see this film is if someone gets it from the information that was hacked from the original, you know, hack.
Yeah,
we know five other films have been released from that hack, so this film could be in there. We just don't know. The hackers obviously don't want us to see this film, but that doesn't mean that someone else that's smarter than them couldn't, you know, find this information. Like, the Wall Street Journal was combing through a lot of this information and found stuff that no one else knew about. So it wouldn't surprise me if this film was leaked somehow, but it will never be legally shown.
I'm more worried about the other movie that was canceled as a result of this, the one with
Me
too. Yeah, you made a good point,
because that seems so interesting.
If this was a more serious film, I think people would be taking it a lot more seriously and not thinking like, it's a pothead film, who cares? The content really doesn't matter now. Now that this has happened, the content is moot. It just doesn't matter.
I don't think people aren't taking it seriously, but like, it is kind
like
of
the average Joe, not like, you know.
In general, like, you know, it's obviously a very serious situation, and, you know, they're like, what are serious to talk about? But then at the same time, like, it's kind of ridiculous.
With, like Andrew said with his dad, how he was saying, well, he's like a pothead, doesn't matter. I think his dad, like, the average moviegoer would think this would be a lot bigger deal if it wasn't kind of like a comedy about, you know, stuff that's bullshit.
Of course.
And people like my dad are like, they're wrong, you know? Gotta be like a youngin' like us. No,
right. Not those old
people. I don't want to see this movie. Don't group me in with you.
That's what I'm saying. They're like, well, it's not a movie I would see, so it doesn't matter. Yes, but in the years coming, a movie that you might want to see could be blocked now, you know, because now studios are willing to make their films out of theaters. So that's a huge deal that I think a lot of people just haven't caught on with yet. You know, we're fairly plugged in, so we're like, oh, we know like the repercussions. But I imagine, like, I know my younger brother was like, so they're not showing the interview, and I was like, no, and he's like, will it ever get shown? Like, I could tell that he kind of knew, like, this is a big deal, but because of the content of the movie, he was like, yeah, you know, who cares? And he's like 19 or 20, so it's like, I feel like unless you know what can happen, it's hard to take it seriously.
Let's shift the conversation a little bit. We found out, like I said, these leaks revealed a bunch of information. One thing, we're going to talk about three particular topics. One thing was that Marvel was interested in, Sony was interested in handing over Spider-Man to Marvel for a movie as early as Captain America Civil War, but apparently this did not pan out because, you know, for whatever their reasons were. But it was interesting because, like, Spider-Man in a Marvel movie is what everybody has wanted, because Spider-Man has been on a bad path in recent years thanks to Sony, and if he joined Marvel, it would have been a huge deal. But apparently this didn't work out, right, Josh?
Yeah, I guess, and obviously it's touchy to talk about these emails that we've gotten access via the hackers, but through emails we found out that, who was it, the Russo brothers, who are directing Captain America Civil War, they were talking with, and I just forgot the lady's name, but the producer.
Amy Pascal.
Amy Pascal. So they were talking with her, and they just started an email with, you know, sorry things didn't work out with Spider-Man joining Marvel, basically. And so we found out that they were talking about putting Spider-Man into the movie, and that was basically it. There was a couple other things that I started to not, I chose not to read just because I felt like it was, you know, getting a little too personal. But I feel like they were really trying to do this. Like Spider-Man was, they were really trying to figure out, because I kind of knew something was going on a couple months ago when they started delaying Spider-Man 3 and all this kind of stuff. I felt like, why would they? They're losing money, because essentially every year that you push back a Spider-Man film is the next film's pushed back a, you know, another year or two. So you're losing $700 million or whatever every 3 years every time you don't release a Spider-Man film. And so they were obviously trying to get Spider-Man into Marvel. Didn't work. And now I can't imagine. I don't know if this hurts or helps that cause. I have to imagine it probably hurts it.
Yeah, and we also found out that if Spider-Man moved over to Marvel, Andrew Garfield or Spider-Man would be recast, so no more Andrew Garfield.
Oh, yeah. Again, which is kind
it's
of
like
bad.
Doctor
That's
Who.
Kind of bad. Yeah.
Yeah, and that upset a lot of people because everybody, you know, they have their differing opinions about Amazing Spider-Man. Yeah. But everybody seems to love Andrew Garfield, even though the stories aren't that great so far.
I think everyone just hated Tobey Maguire. It's more like a comparison thing.
I like Tobey Maguire.
Like, it's not Tobey Maguire.
But I grew up with Tobey Maguire Spider-Man, so I understand.
Andrew Garfield
is
young, so I think he's relatable.
They also said if they did it, like, they wouldn't do an origin story for him, which is a good idea, because, like, everyone's sick of seeing Spider-Man.
Yeah, I was glad to see that. I was glad to see that, because it's like, just get over the origins. Just join, like, the Avengers and be done with it.
Right. I think Marvel are a lot more in touch with what people want to see than Sony are, so I'm not super concerned.
fell.
I could see it happening in the screen.
Falling for Andrew Garfield. I understand.
Carry on.
So we also found out amongst the leaks that the Avengers Infinity War is apparently going to be directed by the Russo brothers. Again, these are the guys who directed Captain America, the Winter Soldier. Did a really great job with it. Yeah. Avengers Affinity War is going to be a two-part thing. We spoke about this on a previous episode, which is a pretty big deal and pretty cool, I think.
Yeah, it's a huge deal. I guess glossed over a little bit because the hack is such a bigger deal.
And there were rumors about that anyway.
Mm-hmm.
About them directing, yes.
Yeah,
so a lot of people had assumed this was already done. I guess it already was. I think I'm just surprised that Joss Whedon was so quick to kind of jump off the bandwagon. Maybe he's just wanting to do other films.
Probably, yeah, because he's got a lot of probably stuff lined up that he would like to do. So
yeah, but it's like he only did two films. Like I know he kind of monitors all the other Marvel films, but normally you'll see them at least stick around for three.
Taking him like 7 years though.
Yeah, yeah.
I seem to remember him being less than interested after doing just one.
Yeah.
And I guess Marvel threw enough money at him so he wanted to do a sequel as well. But I mean, committing to another two Avengers movies, that seems like a huge process. I mean, who knows why the Russo brothers want to do it, but so it's like one Russo brother gonna get one movie.
I think they work together.
This is excellent news, I think.
They'll film this probably one after another. Like I have to imagine this might be, even though it's two parts, I feel like it might be like with The Hobbit, you know, where you see the whole film.
They're gonna split it into three. Is that what you're saying?
In terms of film, the production, it'll be one shoot, and then maybe it'll be split. But that's not factual. That's just what I think.
Right. Why are you excited for the Russo brothers?
Because I think Winter Soldier is the best Marvel film that has been released.
Yep.
Definitely the only one to rival it might be like Iron Man. I think it's much better than Avengers. And
it's a movie in general.
Yeah, it is. Not it just is a comic much better movie, but it's right. But it is also a better comic book movie, and they seem to have a better handle on the characters than I think Joss Whedon does. And I love Joss Whedon. Like, you know, it's not a thing against him, but I just prefer their take on it.
It still hurts.
And so I'm excited to see them deal with all of the characters, not just, you know, the Captain America ones, because they're doing Civil War as well, which will be cool. It's good news.
And Iron Man, I have a big part in that now. We know that. I don't think we talked about that before.
One other Sony leak thing I wanted to touch on. I'm just looking at this article. It doesn't seem to be a big deal to our readers, but apparently Sony has nabbed the movie rights for Super Mario Bros. From Nintendo, which I think is a big deal because there was just that really bad live-action one in the early 90s that flopped. I never saw it. I guess it doesn't. It's just everybody says it's really bad. But so the Sony would be doing an animated Super Mario Bros. And the producers in these emails were saying they have a bunch of ideas for what to do with Mario. It seems a little weird to me because I can't imagine Mario animated being on the big screen looking like he does today. I don't know. It's going to be tricky, even though people love Mario so much. I think there has to be a movie about saving the princess, right? That seems like the first
boring.
One has to be.
But yes. You're like the number one Mario Brothers fanboy. You are not objective about
when
Mario
Mom was visiting me, she had to watch me play Mario Kart 8, and I would occasionally let her.
Like every day. Yeah, when he was bored of like competition, he would play against me.
Yeah, I was playing online with really skilled people.
Ah, serious business, right?
Their most skill was getting 12 every time.
I'm consistent.
Yes, no, I'm just messing with you.
But speaking of animated stuff, we forgot about how a Spider-Man animated movie is actually being made by the Lego movie creators.
Oh, yeah. That seems good, right? Like, that has a good shot at being something worthwhile.
Yeah, I mean, I would have never thought of it, but the I'd love to see the Lego movie creators handle that.
I mean, even...
Phil Lord and Chris Miller, they're great.
Before these leaks, we had heard that Sony was just totally in the dark about what to do with Spider-Man, and that really came to light in these emails. Like, you could see it across all these emails.
Yeah, they were struggling.
They're planning on holding a Spidey summit in January to figure out what they do with him. And
they're gonna ask the fans for ideas.
Maybe he could go to Marvel. I mean, that seems to be the consensus after this hack. I mean, why not?
I don't see how it's that hard to get. Like, you could easily. They're not making that much money. The Spider-Man movies, the last two, have cost a lot of money, and they've only been making they've been making a decent amount of money. But I think if you worked with Marvel somehow, it seems like they would make more money in the long run, and that just seems
or
like
just
smart business.
Some money.
Yeah.
Or just what?
Some money.
Some money.
I,
oh, gotcha.
I think this would be a good PR move for Sony to hand Spider-Man over, because it's like after all this, after seeing Amy Pascal and Scott Rudin look, you know, allegedly bad. For them to hand over Spider-Man, it'd be like, all right, that's cool. They did what we want. We like them again now.
Maybe it's just me, but wouldn't really want Spider-Man as part of the Avengers because I think he's super whiny. Just gonna put that out there.
I think it would be hard to fit him in there. I feel like the character seems a lot different than the Avengers do. I don't know why. I know he's in the Avengers.
They do feel different.
I think when I watch them on screen, they just do.
Well, I mean, you know, it's a totally different story being presented to us. Yeah. Marvel just has their magic touches that they put on the stories that Sony has been lacking.
The one thing I think this would do is help Sony's current problem in that they look like shit right now. And if they built up a relationship with Marvel and they made a lot of Marvel fans happy about letting Spider-Man be in the Avengers or Captain America or anything, that would really start to build their reputation back up, I think. Because Marvel's essentially the top dog right now.
Yeah,
and the reason, the reason people are really talking about Spider-Man going back now is not necessarily because they want, like, a Avengers plus Spider-Man movie, but because when they announced Civil War, in the comic books, the Civil War storyline, the three main characters are Iron Man and Captain America and Spider-Man. So when they announced the Civil War plotline, that's why a lot of people were kind of stressed about it, because obviously they don't have the rights to Spider-Man, and he's quite a big deal in the original story. So I think that was kind of what spurred a lot of people to suddenly be like, oh, wait, you can get Spider-Man? Like, please do it. So, yeah.
That makes sense.
Just timing.
Yeah, the timing was great for, I don't know, it was there.
You know who I feel bad for right now? Seth Rogen.
I know.
I feel bad for them, man. I really do.
Yeah,
I was listening to interviews last night, and they were like, oh, we're so excited for our fans to see this film. You know, we think it's great. And I know people say that a lot, but I feel like those guys, or especially Seth, I feel like he makes comedies because he really thinks, he's like, I like my audience. I know that they're a specific audience, but I make movies for them, and I don't really give a shit what other people think. And right. I feel like that he made this movie for that audience, and now they can't see it, you know.
And his movies are so introspective as well. Like, this is the end. Yeah. It has a lot of actual good points, and I think that's why North Korea, like, it's not just a mindless comedy. It's actually exactly. It would actually have had some points, I think.
I think if anything, it would inform younger people about the situation, which they've probably not, you know, they've probably ignored.
Exactly.
We had one of our reviewers. He actually saw the interview before it got canceled and banned. And we have that review up on Hypeable now. He gave it a B+, and he said, you know, it was ridiculous in a great way concerning the third act. Apparently it's just bonkers, which, like, this is the end, has a bonkers ending. Like, yeah. I mean, the whole movie's pretty nuts, but the end is just like I was throwing up from laughter. And I intend to do that again with the interview.
Yeah, me too. I loved it.
But one of the reasons I mentioned Seth Rogen is because I just saw a TMZ report. They got him while coming off the coming out of an airport. I think it was LAX, and he wasn't talking at all.
Yeah, so. He hasn't been tweeting or anything. I feel bad.
Yeah. Maybe he's not allowed. Maybe they've put some kind of lockdown.
Yeah, and I mean, what do you say, really? Like,
he should show it. He should just reenact the whole thing.
They have a two-man show of it.
Yeah.
They're probably like, their hands are probably tied. I swear, I think a lot of this stuff, you know, they're just so tied up.
You know, Sony is telling, yeah.
Like, even he already got paid. Like, I mean, we saw his salary in the emails and stuff, so like, basically he didn't have to do the press for this movie, he just got paid for it.
Yeah. But
I think he's probably super bummed about the fact that people aren't going to see this film because
probably super bummed in his giant mansion with all his
cars. I was like, I can't feel that bad for him.
No, like, I just mean,
yeah,
I think
bad, but you know,
when I hear him talk, I feel like they make a lot of their films for very little money, and like, we know the interview costs $40 million. I mean, it's a lot of money, but it's compared to like all the movies we see normally, it's kind of peanuts. And so I feel like they do care. Like, he does think, like, he's found his niche, obviously. But I don't know. I just feel like this is probably a big blow to him personally. Well, maybe not his career, but just, you know, personally.
Let's move on because we've spoken about it for about a half hour.
Okay, it's just so interesting.
Watch this space. It is really interesting. No, I'm glad we talked about it at length because it is interesting. This Team America thing really.
I know, that's the, yeah.
I'm going to watch it tonight on Netflix.
Team America?
I think it's still on Netflix by the time I watch it. Try to watch it.
In solitude, yeah.
I'm trying to find the interview online so I can watch it.
I know. Mm-hmm. I hope the interview leaks. We'll all hear about it, and we'll write about
also,
it on Hypeable.
Obviously has terrible online security, so chances are it will.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, so, I don't know why we're
we're going to do things a little backwards right now. We're going to talk about The Hobbit and Into the Woods, two movies. One just came out, that's The Hobbit, and the other comes out on Christmas. The reason I say we're doing this backwards is because usually the calendar at the end of the episode, blah, blah, blah. So has anyone here seen The Hobbit? Selena, you have.
I have, like weeks ago.
Oh, all three. Mirma, have you too?
I haven't seen it.
Okay. But Josh,
are you not watching any of the movies, or have you just not seen it yet?
It's not out here yet, and I haven't had a screening.
I saw it Tuesday. There was
So, I mean, I've seen a lot of mixed reviews. At first, I thought they looked pretty positive, but what did you guys think? Were you happy with the conclusion?
No.
No.
Not at all.
I hated it.
I did, and I wasn't expecting to hate it. Oh, my screen is frozen. So I was really, really upset that I didn't like it. I really wanted to like it.
Is it because, like, you were kind of holding it up to The Return of the King?
I was absolutely holding it up to Lord of the Rings. You haven't seen them, have you, or you don't like them?
No, I have. I have now. I'm proud to say.
Okay. He finally watched them.
Because that's the thing, is that The Lord of the Rings, and I know me and Merrima have spoken about this before, like, the reason that I'm not a big fan of the Harry Potter movies is because I feel like they I'm not going to talk about this now. I'm going to get hate mail. But basically,
another 30-minute conversation.
Yeah, no. Basically, the Lord of the Rings movies are, I love them because I think they're some of the only movies that actually depicts the world, fantasy world, is real. Like, you can see that the actors care, you can see that the creators care, you can see that the movie feels so real and the characters exist within a real world. And then I remember when the first Hobbit movie came out and it just kind of felt like claymation because of the CGI and screen screen, and I was like, oh, okay. But then I thought, okay, fine, it's a, you know, more of a children's book anyway, it's a more of an adventure movie. But then the third movie, like, you just had, I'm not going to spoil it, but you basically just had, like, random plot point, random not funny side character running around doing stupid gags with women's clothes. You had, like, girls screaming. And you had, like, characters dying without any, spoiler, I'm not going to say who it is, but without any, like, repercussions. You had character arcs. There were almost no characters actually developed through the movie, especially not Bilbo. Which is, you know, I mean, I know he didn't really in the book, but they made the three movies, you know, that would have been something they could have added. And then they came back for the end, and you remember the first movie opened with Frodo, which was like really like, wow, you know, they're going to tie it all together. Nothing at the end. It just
really
ended. Yeah, and that's like the main thing. I was waiting
for opportunity.
I know, and they had Billy Boyd singing the final song, which I didn't hear, by the way, because
everybody left like before it started.
And
I was like,
I just came out of that thinking that Peter Jackson, I know he's capable of making a really good movie. He had a chance to make a really good movie, and he didn't. He just made a movie that just went blah blah blah. Yeah.
It was like the biggest mess I've seen. I expected the third film to be much better than the first two. And Louis, our reviewer, said he thought it was, but I just thought it was such a mess. You know, I was like, God, this is bad. The beginning, you can tell the beginning of the film where Smaug attacks Lake Town. It was supposed to be in the second film from the beginning.
Yeah, and it didn't fit at all.
And they just cut it out. And it makes no sense in the third film. And it looks entirely different color-wise, style-wise. Mm. I mean, everything looks entirely different between that scene, sequence. And then when you move to the third film, you can clearly tell where they went. You know, they just edited it into the third film.
Yeah.
And that was a bummer because I feel like Peter Jackson, I know he's a good director. I love him. I mean, I love the Lord of the Rings, the trilogy. And so I know he's good. But this is like, it was just, I almost fell asleep and it was like a 7 o'clock showing.
Yeah. It was very
strange. That's all I can say.
My brother, I think I've mentioned it before, hasn't seen the Lord of the Rings movies. He's been waiting to see all three Hobbit movies so he can watch them chronologically.
Yep.
So he went, he's a huge Hobbit fan. I'm like, wow, all my friends will despise you because he's 18. He went to AMC's Hobbit Marathon earlier this week, all three Hobbit movies back to back to back. This is after. He's already seen the other movies. Last year, he went to AMC's Hobbit Marathon where they played 1 and 2 back-to-back. I'm like, you're seeing all three again?
He could have just paid you like $50 to waterboard him for 9 hours.
Well, but he actually enjoys them.
I know.
And so,
I had some girls behind me in the cinema as well going like, they saw a trailer for it and they were like, oh, I just love The Hobbit so much more than Lord of the Rings. And I like wanted to punch them.
Well, so my brother's also willing to go see it again with me because I haven't seen it yet. But also, he's going to be watching the Lord of the Rings movies within the next week, I think. So
you know what's funny about that, and you'll have to let us know how he likes them, because one of the funniest things about The Hobbit is that Legolas, the character, isn't actually in the Hobbit books. They've added him for the movies. Mm-hmm. And what they've done, if you watch the final film and then you watch the Lord of the Rings, his character now makes no sense. Like
really?
Like the whole fact of him despising dwarves and having all this, if you've seen the final Hobbit movie, you're expecting this, this is like the origin story for why Legolas hates dwarves.
Maybe
it makes no sense.
He hates dwarves because Toriel falls in love with one. Maybe that's
but,
why.
Yeah, that would have been it. But that's not what they show in the final film. At
I
all.
Actually thought their Legolas, his storyline was one
it was
of
a good storyline, definitely. I mean, you
film.
Can see that,
now, that
Peter
doesn't
Jackson
mean a
likes
lot.
Him.
Yeah, that doesn't mean a lot. But in terms of everything else, I felt like his story fit better. I don't know why. Even
yeah,
he's
had
not
some,
in the book, you know.
He had some good stunts and stuff, and he did have some good.
Although
it just
there was a point
fit.
He was climbing up rocks that were falling, like they're literally falling in the air, and he's climbing up them. And you're like, I guess physics just isn't in Peter Jackson's world.
He's an elf.
Very light. Oh, remember he walked on the snow in Fellowship of the Ring.
Yep.
So I was like, maybe he's just super light and he can walk on falling rocks.
After all this feedback, I am interested to see the movie, to see what all the hoopla is about. Not so much the hype, but the hoopla.
The hoopla.
Yeah.
Hooplaable.com.
It's probably not as bad as we say, but
no,
oh,
is.
You're probably right.
Yeah, you're right.
It probably is.
Quick plug, we've been doing
maybe
a ton
of... Maybe it hurts to be a fan of the Lord of the Rings.
That's probably what it is. We've been doing a ton of Middle-Earth coverage on Hypeable to say goodbye to Middle-Earth, including, you know, the question, well, is this really goodbye? Merrima published an article today wondering if we could see the Silmarillion one day hit theaters. And
spoiler
the answer
alert.
Is,
no.
Never say never.
No,
never say never. I think
not for Peter Jackson. Peter Jackson will never do the Silmarillion because there's
and that's probably a good thing because I think he's just done. Yeah.
Well, you can read the article to find out why.
Yeah, you did a good job with this because if people don't know about Christopher Tolkien, who is basically the son of J.R.R. Tolkien.
Don't spoil it.
Don't tell them.
Read the article.
Well,
it's in the article.
It's in the article, but it's pretty interesting finding out how much he just, you know,
he feels
about the films. How about that?
Yeah.
Warner Brothers is money hungry, though, so I think they're going to try to make it happen.
Well,
why
they
is
would
that?
Have
yeah.
to.
Oh, 100%.
Why is no one talking about Children of Húrin? That would make a much better movie.
Well, they have the Tolkien estate has the rights to that as well.
Yeah.
Next week, Merrima will publish an article looking at that one.
Yes.
Yeah.
But there's much more Hobbit stuff over on Hypeable, so check it out.
Coming.
And
in the next
coming.
Few days. Yeah,
yeah,
we're not done yet.
I'm excited to read an article that I'm not writing, but I had the idea for. So.
Uh-oh.
What is
it? Should I say? It's where does the fandom go through from here? Are we doing that one?
Oh, maybe.
If we're not, I'll just lay in this bed over here and think about it every night. I'll never have an answer, but
yeah,
so another movie
that
comes out later this month. I don't think North Korea has threatened to cancel this one.
Yes.
Into the Woods. This is Disney's musical adaptation. Stephen Sondheim wrote the musical, also wrote the music for this movie. How was it, Merrima? You saw it already.
Yeah, I saw it a couple weeks ago. It was, preface, I'm a very big Into the Woods fan. I think this was a really solid adaptation, but it's going to annoy a lot of people because there were quite a few things that were cut. It's just, you know, it's Disney-fied, so some of the storylines have been cut down and it's been a bit streamlined. In terms of the music, though, it was actually very impressive. I saw it, the person that I went to see it with, as the credits started rolling, I leaned over to them and said, did they dub Meryl Streep? Because she sounded amazing. And I've seen Mamma Mia, and that is a terrible movie. So
I like it.
I like Mamma Mia, too.
Yeah, but she can't sing in Mamma Mia, and she can sing damn well in Into the Woods. So, yeah, I think it was. Maybe with a little filtering at the top, but not much. You know, for what it is, it's a really good adaptation. It's, you know, it's a lot better than, like, Les Mis or any of the terrible movie musicals we've had recently. Probably one of my favorite movie musicals. So,
I don't know if everybody agrees with you about Les Mis, but...
Well, it's pretty terrible, but this is very good. And it's very funny as well, which I forgot how funny the show was, and the movie really gets that. So, you know, don't go into it expecting it to be, like, word for word from the show, and then you'll have a good time.
I know nothing about Into the Woods except
I don't
for
either.
Some lame information.
So,
yeah, I haven't
I'm
seen.
Excited.
Right, that's why I'm so excited because I don't know anything, and I'll probably
oh,
love
like
it because I have nothing to compare it to. So
exactly. Mm. And for the people who are big fans of the stage show, next week we'll be publishing an article about the differences from the show and the film, so you can like check that out when that goes up.
Excellent. And you already published an article when the soundtrack is available now on Spotify, Amazon, iTunes. So if you want, you can go and listen to the music now. I'm purposely not until after I see the movie. But Marima did an article looking at the best songs on the soundtrack as well. Thank you for doing
that. Yeah, no problem.
Let's talk some Insurgent news now. So we weren't happy with the first teaser trailer that came out for Insurgent because it was like this a sequence taking place in her head, in Triss's head. It may have been like one of those what were they called in the books?
The fear landscape or something?
Yeah, oh, yeah. The fear
simulation.
Landscape.
Simulation?
Yes.
Yeah.
So
yes.
It's one of those two things in the teaser trailer happening with her mother. And it just didn't feel right because you just don't know what's going on. It didn't really get you excited for the movie. This Insurgent trailer is a full-length trailer. I think it's close to 2.5 minutes. It has a lot of scenes from the book, or from the film. The question is, how loyal is it to the book? At the beginning of the trailer, there's this box thing that nobody remembers from the book. Some people are speculating that it was a USB drive heard about in Divergent. Let me look at the comments. I'm forgetting what other people... The box was the biggest thing. People just didn't really recognize it from the book. I'm thinking they're adding a lot because they got to beef up Allegiant because they're splitting that into two films. So they need to add some more so they have some stuff to talk about in Allegiant Part 1 and Part 2. That's my theory. What did you guys think of the Insurgent trailer?
Yeah, it was all right. Mm. I think from memory, Insurgent was the weakest book, so maybe that's also why they need to expand on it a little.
Yeah, but I'm not really that excited about this, honestly.
Yeah, neither.
I liked the first book, but I wasn't really into it, and I have only read half the third book. I know what happens, but I'm like,
Yeah, I really need to reread Insurgent. And I got spoiled with Allegiant, so I stopped reading because I was just, like, bummed that I got spoiled, so.
You asked me what happened. That doesn't count as getting spoiled.
No, but I had read spoilers before that. I wanted to just double check with you.
Okay.
Well, as someone who hasn't read the book, when I saw the trailer, I was just like, I don't understand any of this, and I'm not interested. And I think that's what surprises me is that they're not trying to go after the... you know, the non-book readers, because obviously you want to increase your viewership.
Yeah.
That said, though, like, I can't remember how exciting the first Divergent trailer was, but I really liked the Divergent movie a lot more than I thought I would. So I will give this the benefit of the doubt, but, you know, new director and everything, so who knows?
Someone in our comments had a theory about that box. These are spoilers for Insurgent, though, so... you know, maybe just fast forward if you don't want to hear this, but the box is simply a physical version of the information, aka the Edith Pryor video. In the video, we find out that after a level of divergence reaches its limit, the video must be revealed, and those divergent must travel outside the fence to meet with the people who created this experiment. In the movie, the box will probably have some sort of tape inside or projection of the video, but to open this, someone with a level of divergence enough for three faction aptitudes must open it somehow. That's why Triss is the one, and that's why there are other divergent people.
The chosen one.
Right, the chosen one. Opening. I open at the close.
Oh, yeah.
Oh.
I like Divergent, but I'm not really into science fiction. I don't follow it very well. I don't comprehend it very well. So, like, at this, like, reading what this person's name is Person on our comments, I'm just like, whew, I don't know. It's fine.
That
I'm looking forward to it.
That makes sense to me. I think that's probably correct. Yeah.
Okay. Cool.
But it doesn't mean that it's a good idea that they did it that way.
Right.
We will soon find out.
Another trailer was released for another highly anticipated 2015 film. That is Pixar's next movie, Inside Out.
I'm so excited for this movie.
Yeah, this comes out in June. It is directed by Pete Docter, who also directed Up, and what else did he direct? He directed one or two others for Pixar. Anyway, great director. The trailer, so we see, most people already know that Inside Out takes place primarily inside this girl's head who just moved to San Francisco with her parents. And there's five emotions, they're voiced by very well-known people, including Amy Poehler. And in this trailer, we learn that we're also going inside the heads of the parents as well, with the same five emotions, but voiced by different people, I think. So in this, you see what's happening inside the heads of the parents, and it's really interesting because, like, the dad is, like, not listening to the mom or the daughter. He's just thinking about sports, and
it's very cliche, isn't it? Like,
so, yeah, you know, I know they're doing binary.
They're doing it for kids, but really, it's a little too... Like, why couldn't the mom be thinking about sports?
But you know what, right. I'm sorry, but I agree that you guys are right, but there have been way too many complaints about that. No, because this is what people relate to. When the average Joe watches this movie in middle America, here in my state, they watch this and they're like, yeah, that's exactly what
I think
thinking.
The problem is that people relate to it because it's all over pop culture. That's how they get their relations. So the kids that are watching this are gonna get those relations. Mm. What is it called? Like, you know, they're gonna get those gender binaries into their emotional brains. You know, and they just could be. I mean, so many movies, including Pixar, are good at just throwing in little things that you're like, huh, that's not cliche. That's actually more realistic, more different, more diverse, if you will. I just think, I mean, we haven't seen this movie. I'm still super excited to see it. I just saw this clip and I was like, really?
Yeah.
Yeah.
What was common denominator?
I would give them the benefit of the doubt, especially because Up is my favorite Pixar movie.
Me too.
And
I love it so much.
I think, like, also to be fair, you know, when we saw the Up trailer, did we know that Up was, like, going to make us cry within the first 10 minutes of it? No, we didn't. So, you know.
I was sobbing.
Monsters Inc. was other
Pete Docter. Yeah, I think... So hopefully the rest of it will be a little more diverse, but this was... I'm pleased to see people complain about this, because people shouldn't be complaining about this. Like, it's unnecessary. They didn't have to do it, like, this way, but they chose to go with the stereotype. So I hope that they do something within the movie to undo that stereotype, and then that would make it there for a reason. You know, not just there, like Selena said, confirming things that we've already shown throughout pop culture and the media.
Yeah. I'm reading some comments. There's a good debate on the hypeable comments about this trailer. You know, people agree with Mirma, and then people also agree with me. So, I don't know. We'll see how the movie... We'll see how it goes. Give them
I'm
a
sure
chance.
It'll be
it's
excellent.
Pixar.
Yeah, I'm sure it'll be really good.
Yeah.
I wouldn't be surprised if, like, you know, if they did it this way for a reason, and then, like, the child's is going to be a little more, like, her emotions will be a little more diverse or something and have something to do with, like, maturity
and also,
or whatever.
That's also interesting because the both of the, not that we should spend a lot of time on this, but the mother's voices are all female and the father's voices are all male, but the kid's voices are both male and female. I don't know if that's going to matter, but it's interesting.
Exactly.
Maybe. I'm thinking we're not going to spend that much time in the parents' heads.
Yeah,
I think it may just be this one thing.
Also, because it was super confusing. I mean, I don't know if that was just me. I couldn't really tell which was which head because they all.
I think that's why the mom was all women.
Yeah, I was just stupid because I was
guys.
Like, because hers were different, so I didn't really. Yeah.
like they didn't have to make the mom's head the view and the dad's head
was
like ESPN.
That was funny.
It was unnecessary. No, that's it. I'm done. I'm done talking about it.
Okay.
Moving
on to Orlando Bloom. He says that Pirates of the Caribbean 5 may be a reboot.
Oh yeah.
A soft reboot. A soft reboot. So what does a soft reboot mean?
It just means normally reboot, you know, everyone's different, but in this it would be he just comes back and he has a 10-year-old son or something like that, I guess.
That's not a reboot. That's a continuation.
Well, that's what I'm saying. That's why they're saying it's a soft reboot, because they kind of wrapped up their stories and they moved on to a terrible film. And then
are they just starting maybe from a clean slate in terms of like what's happened in the past? Same characters.
Well, no, I don't think. I think it's a continuation, like what Selena said. I don't know why he said
reboot. That's in no way a reboot. That's stupid.
That was my fault. Well, no, that's what he said.
No, it's not your fault.
That's right.
It's his
he did
fault.
Say reboot.
Yeah, he said reboot.
He said, this is the exact quote, "I'm not entirely sure that I'll be back just yet, but there are talks. Basically, they want to reboot the whole franchise, I think, and do something with me and the relationship with my son. I'm, of course, Davy Jones now, so I'm down the bottom of the ocean. It might be kind of fun to do something where I'm rumbling around the bottom of the ocean because I won't look anything like me." So,
okay, so reboot in that it'll probably focus on his son.
The weird thing, yeah, that's what I was thinking, because they probably want to bring this back to like the younger audience,
yeah.
And so that
and
would
son
that
be
would
like
be a great
16.
Job.
Mm. Yeah,
but well, I think he'll be like 10. I think that's what
they're
saying.
Maybe they'll maybe push. Maybe who knows?
But what I don't get is the only reason that Davy Jones's face was all messed up was because he wasn't doing the job of like ferrying this dead souls to, or the souls to the whatever, and so like. Why would Orlando Bloom's face be messed up if he's doing the job right? Like, you guys know the story that in the film, right? He became.
I don't remember it. It was such a long film.
Well, once he became the Flying Dutchman, like the captain of the ship, he had to start ferrying the souls to the other side of the, you know, the heaven or whatever.
Sure.
And so Davy Jones stopped doing that, and that's why he turned into the tentacle, you know, thing.
You put a lot more thought into this than I ever have.
Me too.
We knew.
But yeah.
Good it's in the theory. Comments.
I'm glad somebody knows.
Well, no, I mean, everybody's discussing the comments, so that's why I brought it up.
So let's not spend more time on that. Let's talk about Marvel.
Who cares about Orlando?
A little more, yeah.
Who
cares
awesome
about
in the Hobbit?
Yeah. So finally we found out that Benedict Cumberbatch is going to play Doctor Strange, you know, after months of rumors, it was almost Joaquin Phoenix. They were supposedly ready to announce. They wanted to announce Benedict at Comic-Con, just wasn't ready. But hey, 4 months later, sure. So, Marima, were you against this? I know Danya was really against this.
Yeah, I'm with Danya. And let me plug, if you would like to hear a very long conversation about this, please listen to this week's episode of Hero Hype, which is our podcast all about superhero stuff. But yeah, I am not a fan at all of this casting, and it has nothing to do with Benedict Cumberbatch, who I think is great, although I am somewhat sick of seeing him in like the tortured genius role. It has a lot to do with the Doctor Strange origin story, where basically a white guy goes to a foreign country and like learns that like
not
mystical
just that,
powers.
It's Asia.
Right, like, goes and gets his powers and then is better than everyone there, and he's, like, this magical, mystical, white dude. And especially considering, like, all of the controversy accompanying Benedict Cumberbatch with, like, when he played Khan in Star Trek and they whitewashed that role, I'm honestly surprised he decided to do this. But, the people who are upset about this casting are just upset that they cast a white guy in it when they could have retconned it and tried to take out some of those problematic aspects. So it's not, like, Cumberbatch specifically, but the people, including me, who have a bit of an issue with it, have a reasonable point, I think. I'm sure he'll be great, but, unnecessary.
My issue with Benedict is, isn't he busy enough? I mean, he's got Sherlock, he's got other random films. I mean, he's committing himself to two major franchises. Doctor Strange, you know, there could be at least another two films. He
but
may
Sherlock
be working other.
Sherlock doesn't film for that long, does it? Because it's only three episodes.
Yeah, but it's like, what, 3 months?
Andrew just wants more Sherlock. That's really his issue.
Well, I mean, I kind of do. I like Sherlock, but it's like there's always these long gaps in between series, and it's because these guys are so busy now Benedict's going to get even busier, I think.
Well, and just to throw in what I think, like, I don't really, it's not that I don't care that Hollywood whitewashes everything, it's that I've kind of stopped trying to argue the point, and I more just look at, do I think he'll do a good job? Probably, you know, and I'm only a fan of his because he's such a big part of our site, and also I've only seen him in, I think, Khan, like as Khan, and I didn't see him in Sherlock, like I've
you
never seen
him in Smaug.
I saw him. I didn't see him as Smaug. So, like, I don't have a problem with him being Doctor Strange. Like I said, I guess I'm just jumping over the whitewashing part, and maybe that's irresponsible. But I feel like that's such a staple of Hollywood now that it's not even something that I look at. And maybe that's maybe that's bad. Maybe that's a bad thing for me. But I think it's just something that, if we just continue to argue about it, like, we don't get anywhere. Hollywood's at fault. You know what I mean?
Let him be a woman and move on.
and I like him. Like, when I saw him in Star Trek, I really liked him. So I was like, I like this. But everybody seemed to hate it, and I was in our group, so I was like, well, I won't say that I like it, because I didn't want to, like, get into argument. I just don't think it's worth, like, arguing over anymore. You know what I mean?
Well,
so
I disagree entirely.
No, I don't mean like the point. Yeah. I don't mean that the whitewashing isn't worth arguing over. I just don't think we get anywhere through talking about it. But
I think we absolutely do. I think the reason people have been talking about the fact that there's no women superhero movies is the reason that we're now getting a Wonder Woman movie. So it's the reason that, you know, we're going to have a person of color starring in Aquaman. Like, the only reason that these things change is because people discuss them.
I think that Hollywood just does it when they want to. When they think they can make the most money doing it, that's what they do. I think it's as simple as that. Like, Hollywood's pretty simple. As we saw in the Sony emails, like, if they think they can make more money doing one thing, they'll do that. And if they think they can make more money as a white Doctor Strange, like, that's what they'll do.
Exactly. That's exactly right. And so if the audience reaction is that they want more diversity and Hollywood think they can make more money out of that, then they will do that. And that's why things change, because people have conversations about it. So I think that's a good thing.
So a couple more things. We're getting long here this episode, but I just wanted to touch on a couple more things. First of all, J.K. Rowling's Cuckoo's Calling, and really the following books, they're all going to be turned into a BBC One drama series, which I'm really excited about, because when we first found out that J.K. Rowling was Robert Galbraith, there was talks that Cuckoo's Calling was going to be turned into a movie. But I think this is going to do much better as a television series, because J.K. Rowling has another 7 of these books planned, I think she said.
Oh, Jesus Christ.
Yeah. I think she really enjoys writing.
I'm through the first one.
Oh, but it's so good.
It's the best reaction I've ever had.
Start reading, because it's going to be around for a while. I'm really excited about this. I think she was very happy with whatever BBC One did with The Casual Vacancy, which is premiering, in January. So yeah, I mean, now Cormoran Strayed coming to television. Very excited. Hopefully HBO picks it up in the United States, or maybe BBC America will be airing it here. Who knows? But I'm excited.
This is good news. I think this is, like, kind of the perfect material for them to adapt. You know, BBC obviously do murder mystery drama things, like, very well. And, I'm glad they're going this way instead of doing a film, because that would be so obnoxious. But this is good.
Right. Can you imagine, like, 7 Cormoran Strike movies? Which I don't think would ever
happen. I can imagine them doing that. Yes, I can. And that's what terrifies me.
But I think it would take longer to create them, whereas... Yeah. They can kind of mesh the stories one in with the other. I mean, maybe with a movie.
They can, this way they can, you know, they can at least do the first 2, and maybe by the time this all happens, they would be out to the 3rd book as well. Mm-hmm. So it makes sense for them. It's cool. Yeah. I'll watch it.
Yep.
We're going to have the same situation as with Game of Thrones, where they're going to be like, we don't know what happens until she writes the book.
I'm hoping they don't move that fast.
Well, I can't imagine the Cormoran Strike books are going to be as closely guarded secret as the ending of Game of Thrones.
True.
For like 40 years.
Well, another key difference is that HBO is hell-bent on releasing a new series of Game of Thrones every year, whereas BBC One, I think they're a little more lax. You look at Sherlock, they're just releasing them when they can. So that'll probably what happens.
Also,
that'll probably what happens.
like Game of Thrones are dealing with actors going through puberty, so they're on a bit of a tighter schedule than like they would be for this.
Mm-hmm. All right, some book news. Rainbow Roll, is that how you pronounce her name, or is it Rowl? It sounds rowling, not like bowling.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. Like rowling, not rolling.
Rainbow Rowl has announced that has announced that the Fangirl spinoff Carry On is a thing that's happening. This was the story that we saw bits and pieces of in Fangirl at the beginning of chapters. I honestly skipped these blurbs. I was like, I don't care.
Most people did.
And yet everybody was so excited about it.
Well, yeah, because it's basically her writing Harry Draco fan fiction.
That's the thing that's a bit weird. I mean, you look right on this cover, it's very clearly Harry Draco.
Yeah.
I mean, sort of. It looks more like Harry Snape to me, or James Snape.
Oh, God, don't even... Please stop.
So
yeah,
this is going to be published in October. Like I said, everybody's really excited about it. Fangirl, if you ever read the book, an excellent, excellent book. My favorite Rainbow Rowl book.
It is a good book.
Is it really good? Because I haven't read it because I think it looks weird.
Read it.
Fangirl is very good. Like, Fangirl is worth reading. This I'm less sure about, but I have liked everything that she has written, and I'm excited to see her take on fantasy. So that will be cool. And also, you know, this obviously has, like, LGBT representation, so that's a good thing. Mm. But it is a bit weird, I feel. I'm not quite sure how I feel about it, but I'll read it and then I'll decide. I'll give it
it's
the
like
benefit of the doubt.
Cassandra Clare's book, which is basically like Ginny Draco.
Right. Yeah, or like 50 Shades.
Yeah,
or like
right.
True. Something a little weird, something weirdly fanfiction about it for me. And it was kind of funny in the book when you only had excerpts of it and you're like, ha ha ha, it's like Harry Potter, we get it, it's a funny joke. But like, that's different than reading an entire book about it, so I'm not quite sure.
But maybe what the publisher is looking at is the fact that 50 Shades and The Mortal Instruments were very popular because of
that's
Twilight
true.
And Harry Potter.
Yeah. Also, I think maybe it's going to be a little bit of tongue-in-cheek of the whole genre. Like, I don't think it's going to be super serious, which will be interesting to see from her as well, because she's only really done like realistic contemporary fiction up to this point. So, as contemporary as the 80s for
and
part.
Unlike E.L. James and Cassandra Clare, Rainbow Rowl is...
A really good writer?
Yes. Yes. I was almost not going
to
be explicit
I'll
about
do
that.
It. I'll
she's a great writer. She's a great writer.
Yeah, so I think this could be really cool, but it still feels a bit strange to me.
Little television news, more television news now. The Walking Dead spinoff, we finally found out where it's going to be set. Los Angeles.
Surprise.
Yeah, I mean, it's kind of not a surprise,
that's
right?
What I'm saying.
It's a bit of a predictable choice. I think it'll be cool, actually, because there's a lot of unique areas they could shoot in. They could do Hollywood. They can do Los Angeles proper. They can do the mountains. They can do the beaches. They can go up to snowy climates. I mean, there are going to be a lot of options for them to work with over a series of, you know, how many ever seasons work out. My phone just thought I said, hey, Siri.
Oh. Well, you are hanging out with me, so that would make sense.
I think it'll be good.
Yeah, it's better than New York, because that's even more cliche.
Oh, yeah. Would not have been happy about New York. And
yeah,
visually...
I mean, like you can go all, like you said, there's different landscapes and everything, so that'd be cool.
Yeah. So that's what's happening there. Little TV news tonight. I'm excited and sad about this. The Colbert Report is coming to an end tonight. It's been on the air since, what, the early 2000s? I think they've done 10 seasons? Yep, 10 seasons. Final episode tonight on Comedy Central. I'm excited in that I can't wait to see what The Daily Show and The Colbert Report do, because it's a big deal. The show is beloved. Of course, Stephen Colbert is going to host The Late Show, currently hosted by David Letterman, beginning next year. On Hypeable, Brittany put together a great feature looking at the 10 best moments and segments of The Colbert Report. So I expect
a trip down memory lane.
Yep.
You think he's going to change like his whole personality?
Well, he's going to be
obviously.
I think he's going to be himself at one point, like the very end, to say thank you.
Oh, that would be cool.
Yeah, I'm gonna cry.
Right for his show, Andrew. That's great.
quick,
that would be cool to see him just break. You know, like
is he always a character?
He is. The purpose of the show is that it's mocking conservative talk shows, shows on Fox News. Oh. Yeah, but really, liberal.
It doesn't. It's not on here.
I mean,
well,
it's not
the
on
Daily
here
Show,
either.
John
like,
Stewart.
No, I don't know anything about these things. I only know Ellen.
Okay. Well, Ellen's gonna stick around for a while, so. One more thing today, in celebration of the fact that there's exactly 1 year until Star Wars The Force Awakens hits theaters, December 18th, 2015, I wanted to mention George Lucas said in a recent interview that he hasn't watched the new Star Wars trailer yet.
I made $8 billion, I don't care.
It's just shocking that, and his reason is that he likes to see it in a theater on a big screen, which, okay, yeah.
I honestly, cool. This doesn't surprise me. Like, he's the kind of guy who likes the theater experience. He's always said this. And so it doesn't surprise me that, well, I know a lot of people, like Louis, our reviewer, he won't watch trailers. He just won't watch trailers online.
He's just saying this because he knows it's going to be better than his.
Well, but it's his baby. Yeah. Like, why wouldn't you? Hasn't curiosity broken your little rule about seeing trailers in movie theaters? Don't you
just
say
I'm sure he's watched it, but like, he seems kind of like a wanker. So I think he's just like, no, I haven't watched it. Like, I don't have time for that. Whatever.
People have always said he's kind of like a hermit. Like, he likes to stay home. And it wouldn't surprise me if someone like brought him a copy that he plays at his home theater. You know what I mean? Like that.
He's actually got one.
He would watch. Yeah. I think he would watch it then. I just think that he prefers the theater experience. I don't think he's being a douche. You know.
See, you bring up a good point. He probably has a home theater, a really nice one, and I'm sure he has a computer hooked up to it that can stream HD videos on YouTube.
Yeah.
So I'm like, nobody would even have to bring him a copy of it on DVD.
Yeah, you're right.
I didn't even think about that. Sorry, is this actually a photo of him on this story? Because it looks like a waxwork. Like, he looks
like
a cardboard cutout of himself. What has happened to him?
Wow.
It's George Lucas making a sour face as he stands next to a stormtrooper. Like, maybe he was posing, I don't know.
Hmm.
Wow, the world has not been kind.
He's never been, like, a big, he directed, like, only a few films. He's never been, and I just think he likes movies. He's not a huge, popularity contest winner,
I think
Merriman watched it
best. The world has not been kind. That's reflective of our show today.
Oh, wait. Don't close.
Oh, right. You wanted to talk about your show.
My show. Thanks. I appreciate that. I just really quickly want to plug my show, which is my favorite show. Just killed off my favorite character today, and I was really sad. And I was actually, I don't think since Lost, or maybe Merlin, because I'm such a sap, that I've been so upset about, like, I was writing my recap, and I'm telling you this because, I have no shame, and I was like,
Which show?
It was The 100. It plays on the CW, and I don't
there
let that
go.
Hurt you off, because I'm serious, The 100 is such a good show. Like, it is, when I say that I love it, I really, really could not mean that any more than I do. Like, you think the CW, you think, The Vampire Diaries, that's funny, or, Jane the Virgin. No. The 100 is spectacular. Like, think, if you like Battlestar Galactica or Lost, you, like, this, you'll watch the show and you'll be like, they should have done that, because it's so good. And it's, I don't even know, like, why they hide this away and nobody watches it, because it is just such a good show. And even though they killed my favorite character, I'm just excited about what happens next.
Well,
everyone says that it's better than the book.
Oh, yeah.
Selena watches a lot of television, so I trust her opinion on this, and I'm sorry for your loss.
It is a little bit sci-fi, so you probably wouldn't like it, but it is also, it's just a survival story, and it just has the most brilliant characters. And if you're looking for good female characters, this is the play, like, this has the best female characters that I have ever of any TV show.
Okay.
So good. And
when's it air?
Rest in peace. On Wednesday at 9, but it just entered its winter hiatus, and season 1 is on Netflix, so you can
so
catch
perfect
up.
Time to catch up.
Oh, they're releasing episodes? Oh, wait, we're in season 2, you said?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
But season 1 is on Netflix. And it's like every day, because the writers are so active on Twitter, and every day I see like 20 people like, I just binged everything on Netflix, it's so good.
It's awesome. All right, well, thanks everybody for listening. It's been a very busy and fun episode. As always, you can go to the article discussing, announcing this episode to discuss the show. And I don't think, we're not going to have a new episode before the year is out, but we will, of course, in January, to look ahead to what to expect in 2015. We have a bunch of fun articles continuing to come out about this year, including my year in review. I know everybody looks forward to that every year. And then we're also going to have some articles looking at what we're looking forward to in 2015 and things we do and don't want to hear in 2015.
Yes. And those are going to be excellent. They're probably going to be the best things we've ever published because Andrew and I are writing them.
They're going to be fun, especially now with this interview Sony disaster. There's going to be a lot more to say we do and do not want to see in 2015.
Definitely.
All right, thanks everybody for listening. I'm Andrew Sims.
I'm Josh Neely.
I'm Arima White.
And I'm Selena Wilkin.
I just thought of how Josh jumps in first just to avoid confusion.
Yeah.
And I'm like... we'll see everybody next time for episode 40. Goodbye.
Bye. Bye.